The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and everyone that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Rise and shine, everybody, and welcome back once again. We are in the Easter season, and I hope you already all knew that, okay? Easter season, 7 weeks long the Easter season is, beginning, of course, on Easter Sunday. And as you come to the end of the Easter season, and we're beginning now to come to the end of the Easter season, the message is perfect for us. Because at the end of the Easter season, you hear in the Gospels our Lord's last words to his apostles before he ascends into heaven. And he's getting them ready for something. Something very mysterious, something very difficult to understand. Namely, even though he's no longer going to be visible to them, he's still going to be present to them. Even though they can no longer see him with their eyes, he's still going to be present to them. In fact, he's going to be more present to his apostles after he ascends into heaven than he ever was when he walked here on earth. They need to hear that message, and we need to hear that message as well. That's why the message is perfect now here at the end of the Easter season. And the way he accomplishes this, the way our Lord tells this, is with a series of images. Now, there's 8 of these images in all. They're in the Gospel of John. They're called the 8 I Am statements. And it's the way our Lord conveys the truth of his presence. Now, you heard one of these I Am statements, one of these images, last Sunday. Does anybody remember what they heard last Sunday? Okay. Last Sunday, the message was, "I am the good shepherd, and you are the sheep." And now we get another one of them this Sunday. "I am the vine, and you are the branches." And whereas last Sunday's message was beautiful and consoling, this one is a lot more challenging. Okay, now, "I am the vine," our Lord says. "You are the branches. Remain in me, and you will bear much fruit. And your heavenly Father is going to prune you, like a vineyard owner prunes his vine, so that you bear even more fruit." Okay, so now let's understand that. We've got to begin by understanding this. What does our Lord mean when he talks about fruit? What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, he's talking about the fruit of a life well lived. And what is a life well lived? What does that mean? Well, you're going to get as many different answers to that question as there are people that you ask, right? What is a life well lived? Depends on who you talk to. But I'll tell you this, rank and file, out there across the world, rank and file, I bet you will, if you ask people what's a life well lived, you'll hear very similar answers, and they'll say, well, yeah, a life well lived, that's somebody who's made a lot of money, and somebody who's acquired a lot of power, and lots of honors, lots of awards, and it's really great also if they've got lots of abundant free time in which to enjoy all that they've accomplished and acquired in life. So, what's the fruit of a life well lived? How about this, for example? How about retiring as a billionaire, cruising the world in your own private yacht? Oh, that's a life well lived. That's what a lot of people would... I don't think you actually think that, okay? You guys got values. You show up at church at 7:30 in the morning, right? You're deeper than that. But what? Rank and file, secular world, I think that's what you'd hear. And you know, I didn't pick those examples out of thin air. You know how I came up with that idea of those being an example of a life well lived? Only thing I did was I took St. Thomas Aquinas' four false gods and made them specific. St. Thomas Aquinas says, you know, there's four false gods people chase after in their lives. And these are the things they think make them successful. And they are money, honor, power, and pleasure. So when our Lord talks about the fruits of life well lived, it shouldn't come as any surprise that he's talking about something 180 degrees diametrically opposite of what this secular world calls a life well lived. He's talking about qualities of character in your soul. And when you see these qualities in someone's soul, you know that Christ is present within them. Now, St. Paul tells us what these are in his letter to the Galatians. He lists nine of them. And he says, here's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Ask yourself if this describes who you are. One who's filled with our Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, shows forth love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and control over yourself. When the Lord dwells within you, that's what shows up in your soul. That's kind of like the proof that he's dwelling within you. I hope that is self-evident to everybody that that's good. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and control over yourself. Can't think of anybody who wouldn't think that's good. They'd say to themselves, I don't want love, I want hate, right? I don't want joy, I want anxiety. That's what I want. And I definitely don't want control over myself. I like being out of control. I love living life in constant regret, right? Nobody says that. Nobody says that. So the question is, how do we show forth these? How do we get our Lord to dwell within us? And he says, here's what you do, and it's right here in this gospel, two things. Number one, remain in me. And number two, let yourself be pruned by your Heavenly Father, the same way that a vineyard owner prunes his vine. First thing our Lord says, remain in me. And man, is he emphatic about this. You know, in this little gospel you heard, he says that seven times in this tiny little gospel. Remain in me, remain in me, remain in me, remain in me. Remain in me, remain in me. And just in case you missed my message, remain in me. Well, how do you do that? You know, with our Lord, it's really not any different from any other relationship. It's really very similar. Consider, if you want any relationship in your life to flourish, there's three things you need to do. Three things you need to do. First of all, you need to give it time. Secondly, you need to do the things the other person likes and avoid the things the other person doesn't. And lastly, when things go wrong, you need to apologize. You need to apply those three simple rules to any relationship, it'll grow. First of all, you've got to give it time. So one of my favorite authors and speakers is an Australian man. His name is Matthew Kelly. And he's famous for saying that if you want any relationship to flourish, just give it carefree timelessness. Got any troubled relationship in your life? Pour time into it and throw away the clock. And it'll grow. It'll get strong. And it's the same with our Lord. You've got to give it time. Now, God bless you all. You're up 7:30 in the morning on a Sunday, right? You're doing the right thing. Please understand this much. Your Christian life never can reduce to just what you're doing here inside this church. This Mass is the fueling station for your Christian life, which begins, you could say, in essence, when you walk out of this church. If you ever hear the Mass said in Latin, I love this, the last line that the priest would say as he sends forth the people when he says Mass in Latin is, "Ite missa est." And literally that means, go, it is a mission. And now at the end of Mass we say, you know, the Mass has ended, go in peace. Or we say, go in peace to love and serve the Lord with your life. But think about that. Go now. It's a mission. What's your mission? To walk out those doors different from how you walked in. And to live in the presence of the Lord all the time. Constantly in our Lord's presence. You're giving him time. every day in prayer, but in your mind and your heart, you're trying to live in his presence all the time. That's how you let the Lord remain in you. Secondly, you know, you do the things the other person likes, you avoid the things that they don't like. And what does our Lord say? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That doesn't mean you're not going to slip and fall. You know, God's honest truth. We are all as weak as peanut brittle. Really. You know, we have the greatest of intentions. And then we surprise ourselves by falling again and again. And as long as you get up and honor the Lord's commandments, that's actually not so much of a problem. It's why the word forgiveness is on every other page of the New Testament. But I tell you what is a problem. It's when you define for yourself what's good and what's bad. And then you say to God what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. That is not keeping our Lord's commandments. And you know, if our Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments, you know what he could have said, if you don't keep my commandments? He could have said, it means you don't really love me. And you're never going to remain in him as long as we flout our Lord's commandments. You know, the third thing is, when things go wrong, you apologize. And that's just going to confession. It's a really decent way to understand confession. It's apologizing to Christ our Lord, your best friend. You walk in there, you say out loud, this is what I've done and what I'm sorry for. And through the ministry of the priest, you hear our Lord. He speaks to you in the first person. Now, I absolve you. Now, go in peace. It's a great, beautiful reality. That's how we abide in him. That's how we remain in him. And that's not all we need to do, though. Because the other image that our Lord gives us here is you got to let yourself be pruned by your Heavenly Father the same way that a vineyard owner prunes his vines. It's kind of a mysterious image because not so many of us are familiar with vines and pruning. And I wasn't really very familiar with this either until I took a trip to the Napa Valley in California and I was talking to a vineyard owner. And I had to get to the bottom of this gospel here. I said, tell me about pruning. What does that mean? And he said, pruning is the most important thing I do all year long. Because as a vineyard owner, I want my vines to produce the best grapes possible. And that means I want all the sap of my vines to go into the grapes. Now, the only vines that produce grapes are the second bud of a shoot of a vine that's in its second year of growth. So every winter, what I do is I go by and I clip off everything that's not the second bud of a vine that's in its second year of growth. I clip them all off. So that all the sap's going to go into the vines that are going to produce the grapes. But you know, if you look at the vineyard after it's been pruned, it looks like the vineyard owners murdered the place. I mean, everything's chopped off. And if those vines could speak, they'd say, ouch. They'd say, this hurts. Now understand what our Lord is telling us here. There's plenty of things in your life right now that are sapping our Lord's life-giving spirit. And he will allow hardships into your life so that you bear even more fruit. Our challenge is to trust him through the hardships. God's unconditional love takes many forms. It can be very, very hard for us to understand this pruning. And yet to press on in faith through life's darkest times, this is how we bear good fruit in our lives. Now, this passage you just heard is the antidote to life's discouragement. Can I share with you something very, very personal with you here this morning? Very personal. Okay, I've been a priest for 20 years, believe it or not. Feels like I've been a priest for 5 years. I mean, time flies, but it's been 20 years. Without about 6 or 7 years into it, I began to get very, very discouraged. And I mean so discouraged that I could barely continue, and I didn't know if I could continue. What discouraged me was the idea that what I was doing didn't really make a difference, wasn't really helping anybody. Very, very discouraged. I went and talked to a wise old priest who helped me through some very tough times, and I told him this. I say, I feel so discouraged that I don't know if I can continue. And he pointed me to this passage of Scripture to help me. He said, listen, if you remain in the Lord, and if you let the Lord prune you of some of the things that are sapping your life, he promises Not only will you bear fruit, but you will bear much fruit. So you got to ask yourself two questions. Number one, are you remaining in him? Are you taking his word? And number two, do you trust the Lord? Do you believe him when he says this? Now, that made a huge difference for me. Have you ever felt that way? I'm sure you have. You wake up every morning, you do your thing, you ask yourself, does any of this make any difference? Is anybody actually being helped by this? And I would like you to hear our Lord answer that question for you right here this morning. Listen, remain in him. Trust him through the hard times, and you will not only bear fruit, but you will bear much fruit. It's been said that if you want to be truly wealthy, set your heart on what is truly valuable. Let's remain in our Lord and trust him. We'll have peace in our souls. It'll be a blessing for everybody who knows us. And our lives will live to the praise and glory of God, our Heavenly Father. Amen.